Someday you're going to leave this world and he's going to come and get you. So what's the big deal about your life? After all, you know, you're saved by his grace, and why not just use your life for whatever you want to? And then at the end of life, he's going to take you to heaven, isn't he? Well, it's amazing and it's saddening to hear how many people use that type of logic when it comes to the Christian life. It really does matter what you do with your life, because your life is really a gift from God. And not only is your life a gift from God, but the Bible makes it very clear that there is going to be a time that you and I are going to be held accountable for what we do with these hands, what we do with this mind, what we do with these talents and gifts and abilities that God has given to us. As a matter of fact, it is so serious that one of the last things that Jesus says before he comes back in the book of the Revelation, he gives you and me this word and this strong caution. He says, I want you to know my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. So if you'll turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30, listen carefully to what Scripture says. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, I want you to look at that word, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckon with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou hast delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathered where thou hast not strawed, and I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. In other words, your talent is in the earth. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury or with interest. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he also hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There is no mistaking when you look at this passage of Scripture that Jesus is making it very clear that our lives, our time, and our talent are serious business. I don't know if you'll notice in your copy of the Scripture, but every single word that is penned in red. What that means is those are the very words of Jesus Christ himself. In other words, it's what he says. So much so, it's not just what Paul says under the inspiration of the Spirit. It's not just what Peter says. It's not just what John says. But those are the very words of Jesus Christ. And so what Jesus wants you and me to understand is simply this. Our lives are serious business to God. You and I are going to be rewarded for our lives. And so I want you to follow along in your outline, because I want you to listen to me very carefully as we go through and look at rewarded for our lives. Now, Scripture makes it very clear, and when you look at this text, that each one of these men didn't have the same amount. Each one of these men had different ones. And I shared with you last week that, you know, each person has been trusted with one or more talent. You have been given something by God. There is not going to be a time in the judgment that you're going to say to Jesus, "I'm sorry you left me out." That is not the case, and it will not be the case when you and I stand in the very presence of Jesus Christ. He does know what He's given to you, and He does know what He's given to me. You know, each person will be rewarded on their work. I shared that last week. You're going to be rewarded on your work. You're not going to be rewarded on my work, and I'm not going to be rewarded on your work, and this person's not going to be rewarded on that other person's work. You're going to stand personally and individually in the presence of Jesus Christ. So I want you to follow along, because it is very serious what we do with our lives. Because I want you to listen to me very carefully. Judgment is coming. It's coming to me. It's coming to you. It's coming to every one of us. And I want you to listen carefully. There may be some stinging things you hear in this message, but I'm here to tell you, the day is coming in my life and your life. You are going to stand before the judgment of Christ if you're a Christian. Now, if you're not a Christian, you're going to stand before the great white throne judgment. And God makes that clear. But first and foremost, it's Christ who will judge and reward us in direct proportion to what the talents have been given to us. Now, whenever you examine the text of Matthew, it's clear that here's the reality. You look at these men, you look at their lives, and here's what happens. The things that are given to them are left to their keeping. Now, I want to pause right here. Mike, if you don't mind, can I have your attention? Mike, are you up there? Turn me off of this and put me on the podium, because it's distracting me, and I'm sure it's distracting the congregation. So put me on the podium, Mike, if you would. Now look back at your scripture. Jesus made it very clear in this text. He makes it very clear that these three men had been given talents. Now, every one of them was given something to bring glory to God with. When you look at the text, there was one of them that was left out. Not a one of them received nothing. What that is a picture of is this. It's of your life and it's of my life. Every one of us have been given something by God. And when you look at Scripture, it's in proportion to what they were given. Every one of us don't have the same gift. You don't have the same gift as you, and you don't have the same gift as you, and you don't have the same gift as this person over here. But here's what God does know. He is the one that has endowed you and gifted you, and it is Christ that is going to call you and me into accountability as to what we've been given. And you look at this text, and you find in this passage of Scripture, the only person that will give an account of judgment is going to be ourselves. You're not going to give account for someone else, and I'm not going to give account. You are going to give account for yourself. Why am I saying this, and why is this so important? Because it is going to happen. It is amazing how many people live their Christian life as though it's not going to happen. It's not going to take place. It's not going to happen. My life is not going to be held accountable. But Scripture makes it abundantly clear that we're going to be held accountable. The one with the one talent wasn't called to give account for the one with two or the one with five. The one with five wasn't called to give an account to the one with two. And Jesus made it very clear that each man was called in proportion to what he had been given. And in your life and in my life, we will be called into account what we've been given. Now, some of you have been given more than others. Some of you have been given financially more than others. Some of you have been given more talent than others. Some of you given more giftedness than others. But here's what the Lord does know. He knows what He's given to you. He knows how He's blessed you. He knows what He's endowed you with. Now, sometimes somebody will come along and they'll say, "Well, now, you know, it really is mine. You know, my things are mine." Okay, if everything is yours, then live without oxygen. You don't move without the hand of God on your life. You don't do a thing without the very presence of God upon your being. And whenever you look at this passage of Scripture, God makes it very clear that each one of these men, in spite of the fact that their master went away. Here's what they knew. He knew he was coming back and going to call them into account. And that's a picture of Jesus going away. Jesus told his disciples, I'm going to go away. We know he's been gone away for a long time. And some people in our humanity says something like this. Well, he's been gone for so long. Is he going to come back? Is he going to come back in our lifetime? I don't know. But some of us are going to go see Jesus, and it's not going to be a long time. Some of us will be with the Lord in 10 years, some 20, some 30, some 40. But here is the evidence of Scripture. When you look at this text, here's the reality in each one of these men's lives. They had their Lord evaluate their life. Now, let me ask you a question. When it comes to your life, what type of evaluation do you think you're going to undergo? You need to be very serious. And if this message hurts you in any way, then be mindful of this. The judgment is going to be that much more serious and severe. It's not going to be painful in the fact that you've used your life wisely. But you see, here's what we do. We want to act like that one who just had one talent. And here's what he did. He wasted his talent and lived like it didn't matter and didn't count. And that's the way a lot of individuals do. The way some Christians do. Many Christians do. And you see, you can refuse to believe this passage. That's your choice. You're not going to change the facts. You're not going to change the fact that someday you're going to be named and you're going to hear your name called and you're going to find yourself in the presence of Christ himself. Every one of us are. Because the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, what? The judgment. And Jesus tells us over and over again. Why? Because he wants us to be ready. He wants us to be prepared. He wants us to use our life and our time and our talents to his honor and to his glory. But first and foremost, Christ will be the one who judges. But second of all, each believer will not receive the same number of talents. You look at this passage of Scripture, and these three men had three different abilities. Now, sometimes I get around somebody who can do something, I mean, like a piano player or somebody that's very gifted, and it's sort of saddening. You know, they can just tickle the ivories, and I can do chopsticks. You know what I'm talking about. You know, you can play chopsticks, and I'm not even good at that. Or some of you are good at building, and some of you are good at different other things. And the Father is the one that's given you what you've got. And you see, here's the reality. Holy God declares that he has given you a talent to glorify him with. Now, let me say this. You may not be using the talent he's given you. You may be squandering the talent he's given you, but that's not his fault. It's not his fault that if you're not faithful, that's not God's fault. If you're not obedient, that's not God's fault. If you're not faithful with your finances, that's not God's fault. And you see, in the text of Scripture, this person with one talent probably thought, here's what I can do, and I can sidestep my talents, gifts, and abilities. I can just say, I knew you're a hard man. And here the Lord came and said, you wicked servant. You know, the man with two talents, he didn't hear that phrase from his Lord. Now, let me say this. Some of you are really trying your best to be faithful. And you say, Pastor, I'm just starting, and that's wonderful. Because he knows, listen, he knows your level. He knows where we all are. He knows some of you are just starting out in the Christian walk, and you're stumbling, and you're bumbling, and you're blaming yourself. Don't be too hard on yourself. Listen, every one of us stumble and bumble and blow it from time to time. And he watches as you try, and he's pleased with your walk. He's pleased. And I watch some of your lives as you try to begin your walk with the Lord. And it's so exciting to see as you start and you're faithful and you try to be faithful in the midst of a world that clamors and says, you know, don't do this. Don't be faithful. Listen, the world could care less about being faithful to Jesus. That's why so many Christians are not. Because they're living in the arena of the world. But let me ask you a question. When everything comes down and Jesus says, I'm going to judge you, do you think the world's going to stop that from happening? It's going to happen, and Jesus makes it very clear. You know, when you look at these men and the talent, and there's something very interesting about these men and their talent. Their talent involved their time. It involved energy. It involved effort. It involved their being. And you see, It involved their thinking about what their master had given to them. What's God given to you that you're not using? What ministries should there be in Faith Baptist Church that aren't starting because you say, well, I just don't want to use my life? You know, it's sad, but it's so true. One of the ways that we thank the Lord for saving us and writing our name in the Lamb's Book of Life, one of the ways we repay him is by being lazy and slothful. Now, I'm not going to hurt your feelings, but I'm telling you the truth. One of the things that we do, look at it. Here was one that had one talent, and the Bible says he was lazy. There was a slothfulness about his life. There was indifference in his heart. And the truth about it is, now I want you to listen to me here. Some of you are indifferent in your walk with God. You get 1 or 2 hours on Sunday morning, and that's good enough for you. You don't care about being in the Word of God. It's not important to you. It's not a big issue in your heart to get in the Word of God. It is amazing how we repay Jesus by being lazy, being slothful. What we do with our lives, each day of our life, and we do it somehow with a smugness that, you know what, I'm okay. Why is this so serious? Because, friend, this is coming. The judgment is coming for your life, and it's coming for my life. Whether we want to believe it or not, and sadly, we don't hear a great deal about it. You know, when you look at these men, you find that they didn't receive the same number. But you know, the reality of it is, Scripture says it's required of every man to be found faithful. It's required of every man, every woman, to be found faithful. If you're a child of God, you're to be found faithful. In my honest mind, I've tried to picture what that day is going to be like. I've tried to imagine in my own heart's mind, what is it going to be like when I stand before Jesus? What is he going to evaluate in my life? My attitudes, my responsibilities, my relationships, my abilities that I use or do not use. And you see, Jesus said, you've been given a talent. He's the one that said it, not me. And you see, the reality of it is, the world doesn't say anything to us about using our talents for God. The world won't say anything to you. The world won't say a thing to you this week about being faithful to the Lord. They won't. People around your circle of influence probably won't say anything. How'd you use your life? Listen to what Scripture makes very clear. Paul is talking to the saints at Corinth, and he said, every man's work will be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. You see, when you look at Scripture, look at number 3. Each believer's reward will not be based on the number of talents, but on the faithfulness of what's given him. You may not have but one talent. You say, Pastor, I can't sing, I can't play a piano, I can't do this. And you ask me to do something, I just can't do it. But you know what? You've got something to honor the Lord with. Else you're true and God's a liar, or God's true and we're deceiving ourselves. It can't be both ways. It can't be that you don't have a gift, talent, or ability. If you do not have one, then you've got to back up and say in Matthew chapter 25, God is inaccurate, God is wrong. It can't be both ways. Either God is wrong and I am right, or I am wrong and God is right. And we know how that stands. Now, these men, two of them, Bible doesn't give us name, doesn't tell us their ages, doesn't say anything about that. But what the Bible just simply says is that he gave them something and went away. You know, there's something in your heart and my heart that we think, out of sight, out of mind. You know what I'm talking about? Your parents give you responsibility. When I was a kid, Mom and Dad would give us a responsibility, really Mother more than my dad, but she'd tell my sister and myself, all right, you have the responsibility to do the dishes. Your dad and I are going to go make a visit. Somebody, you know, maybe sick. said, if you all don't mind, do the dishes, and we'll be back shortly. Well, my sister would not really, you know, think about that, and neither would I, until we saw them pull back up in the driveway. And then we knew that our time had come. Friend, I want you to listen. Your time is coming. My time is coming. What you do with your life is serious. What you do with your hands is serious. What you do with your mind is serious. It's a big deal to God if you waste this one God-given life. Think about it for a moment. God has taken 2,000 plus years, really 6,000, to bring you into existence. Have you ever stopped to think about that? God created Adam and Eve, and then, you know, it said that they, about 6,000 years is from the very birthing of society. And then all the way down, and 6,000 years to bring you into being. Your life is not by chance. You're not here by accident. And when you look at this passage of Scripture, the Lord was serious, so much so that he said to him, you've been a good servant. He looked at two of them and said, you've been faithful over a few things. There's a lot of folks who are just, maybe don't have a lot of education, but are smarter than a lot of people I know. But they're using their life and their time and their talent and their ability to bring glory to God. And those are going to be the ones that the Lord says, well done. I believe there's a lot of intelligent people that God is going to indict. They didn't use their intellect for God. They used their intellect for, you know, doubting God, defying God, denying God, and all that. And you look at this text of Scripture, and he says to two, well done. Now, why is that a big deal? It should be a big deal because your life matters to God, and he's watching. He's watching you. He knows what you do. He knows what I do. Nothing is hidden from God. And you know, each believer's reward's not based on the number of talents, but on the faithfulness of, you know, you don't may not have 25 talents. That's okay. You may not have 5 talents. That's okay. You may have 1 talent, but use that 1 talent faithfully. Use it diligently. Number 4, each believer that fails to use his life wisely will suffer loss in the judgment. Now, we don't want to think about this. We want to think about losing as relating only to the unbeliever. But I'm here to tell you, you cannot prove that by the evidence of Scripture. You cannot prove that the only person that's going to lose is going to be the unbeliever. There's a lot of saved people, as I mentioned a moment ago. One of the ways they repay Jesus for saving their soul, they're lazy and slothful. One of the ways they repay Jesus is by not serving him at all. And there's serious questions about whether they're really saved or not. Because there ought to be evidence to salvation. Amen? You ought to have evidence every day of your life that you're saved. There ought to be evidence every day of your life, every day of my life, in my home that I'm saved. There ought to be evidence that I show to my wife that I'm a child of God. And Jesus makes it very clear in this text. You know, each believer that fails. What do you mean fail? I don't mean trying and failing. I've tried and failed a whole bunch of times. I thank the Lord so much for those early churches that I pastored that were so patient with me. And I would stick my mouth right in my foot, my foot right in my mouth too. I'd get everything reversed and I think, but they'd pray for me. They'd love me, but I was trying. Now, I want you to listen to me real carefully. I want you to listen. It's one thing to try and fail. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with trying a second time and failing. But before a holy God, there's something seriously wrong about not trying at all. You know what this one man was indicted? He didn't even try. He didn't even try. He didn't even try to use his talent. He didn't even try to use his ability. He didn't even try to use his giftedness. He didn't even try. And everything was okay, he thought. Everything was all right
until that day evaluation came upon his life. You see, that's where some of you are. You're okay and everything's okay and everything's going hunky-dory. But I'm here to tell you it's not going to be okay because there is something radically missing. You're not even trying. You say, Pastor, how do you know? I know what trying looks like. I know what trying is. And there is failure with trying. If I ask you how many of you have tried and failed, all of us have. But you see, the indictment of the Lord, and Jesus said, this is how it's going to be. He said, thou wicked servant. Did you hear what he called him? How would you like for Jesus to call you wicked? You say, but I'm saved by the grace of God. But what have you done with your life? I believe there's so many ministries in this church and other churches like Faith. Can't start them because nobody will take the initiative. Because my life is my business. I can do with my life as I want to do. Don't you tell me about that. Listen carefully. I'm telling you because it's coming. You can believe me or not. But judgment is coming to your life and it's coming to mine. And you cannot get away from it. I cannot get away from it. It is a reality. And that's what Jesus was trying to put into the hearts of these men. Don't waste your life. Your life is a gift from Holy God. Some of you, as you serve, you know, you say, well, how big a service is it? I just maybe serve the little ones or serve in the kitchen or serve in cleaning up or serve. Listen, there is no service small when you're talking about the kingdom. You see, you look at these men and you look at the text. In the New Testament book of Corinthians, God makes it perfectly clear. You can lose. And I'm here to say, and I really believe this, there's many Christians that's going to lose in the judgment. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? You don't take your life serious. You don't take your walk serious. You don't take your talk serious. And you see, the thing about it is, the Lord came and there was a time when there was no more excuses. There will be a time there is no more excuses. I've had opportunity to serve almost on a jury. Fortunately, I was able to get out by lot, didn't get called on a federal jury. But I can tell you this. It's a serious thing when someone is brought in a federal court. One of the things that I noticed the both times that I was called, I noticed this. There was nobody laughing in the courtroom. There was no cutting up. It was serious business. Now think about it for a moment. You say, well, what can I lose? What am I going to lose when it comes to loss? Loss of reward. Well, you say, that's all right, as long as I'm in heaven. But think about it for a moment. You've been on earth, some of you have been on the earth 50, 60, 70, 80 years. Out the road, whenever you're on the other side of eternity, what are you going to be doing in 50, 60, 70, 80 years? Well, say, I don't know. Will I be sitting on a white cloud with a harp? No, that's not even accurate according to Scripture. Because it's a kingdom, it's cities, there's responsibilities. And what the Lord said, that's the way it's going to be in the kingdom. Those who have taken seriously their life, those who have been entrusted by the Lord God and have used their time, their talent, their abilities in this short, minute life that we call time, I'm going to honor them by giving them larger assignments. I'm going to give them greater assignments. Some of you teenagers are going to get awesome assignments. Why? Because you're faithful. But some older people are not going to get assignments because they're unfaithful. You see, it's going to work on faithfulness. You know, because there's more to salvation than just salvation. That is, there's more to just getting saved. You'll say, well, every second counts. Every minute counts of your life. And that's why, you know, how you respond, how you treat others. So, Scripture makes it very clear. Bible makes it very clear. Number 5. Your reward awaits you if and only if You're faithful what God has entrusted to you. You know, Paul says there's going to be some that go through the fire. Now, and completely lose. You say, how can you completely lose in the judgment? What do you do with your money? Say that one five-letter word, and it's amazing what emotions it brings to our spirit. What do you do with your money? See, even the way we say it, your money. Do you know that you don't own a single thing? The Bible says the earth is the, say it with me, Lord's. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. In other words, everything in this earth belongs to the Lord. When I leave this world, if I leave when I ought to, my daughter will get what's mine and what's her mother's, and she'll pass it on to her daughter. And because you can't put a CD in your coffin and take it with you. I heard of a lady one time that her husband wanted to be buried with $25,000, and he had it there. And at the end of the service, she took the $25,000 out and wrote a check and put it in there. She let him have the $25,000, I guess, if he could cash it. You know this life is a gift from God. But listen carefully. There is a way we get distracted. There's a way we get deceived. There's a way we get altered to thinking, it's mine. No, it's not. Nothing you have belongs to you. It's simply been entrusted to you. You see, here's what the Lord does. I'm going to give him money. I'm going to give him maybe a lot of money, and I'm going to watch what he does. I'm going to watch how he responds. I'm going to give him that. I'm going to give him even an abundance. I'm going to give him maybe real estate, maybe, and I'm going to watch how he responds. You see, money is a test. The Bible says that in the Gospels. Money is really a test. What we do with money and our resources is a test. And what happens so many times, we become self-consumed and self-absorbed. I've seen some people blessed so much, they're just blessed right out of church. In other words, they've got so much resources, they don't need God anymore. Those are usually the ones that call me when some serious disease takes place. Jesus makes it very clear. He is watching what you've been given. You see, when you look at the text, here's what happened. The Bible says the master comes back, and he says, all right, account time. All right, it's account time. All right, it's account time. Servant with five, servant with two, servant with one. It's account time. What have you done? And it's not that he doesn't know. It's that as we stand before him, we're going to either be humbly pleased that we listened, or we're going to be humbly embarrassed. And there are sadly so many that are going to be humbly embarrassed. There are going to be so many Christians that God's going to declare them thieves. There are going to be many that stand before the Lord. He's going to declare thieves. God said in Malachi, he said, will a man rob God? He told the priest, he said, you've robbed me. And the priest answered back, God, how have we robbed you? And God announces, you've robbed me through tithes and offerings. Now, I want to ask you a question. Some messages are not designed to be user-friendly because judgment is coming. Would the Lord indict you for being a thief? Would the Lord indict me for being a thief? You see, all that he's entrusted to us, we're accountable for. You see, a faithful saint, he may not have a whole lot, but you know what? It's the Lord's. You remember the widow's mite in Scripture? She was honored because she had enough money to buy four or five castles, wasn't she? She probably couldn't even buy the dust to go in a castle. But what she honored the Lord with. Now, I want you to listen very carefully on this last one. The Lord will seem to be harsh to some in judgment. while others he'll seem to be extremely graceful. When you look at the text, you see two men. You see the one with two, and you see the one with five talents. He says, well done, well done, well done. Awesome life have you lived. You've been faithful. Well done, young man. Well done, teenager. Well done, you in your 30s. You came home when you was a young man. You met with some type of accident, but you lived a well life. Well done, teenager. You didn't deny me before your friends. You lived your life to the honor and glory of my name. Well done. Listen very carefully. And I really believe with all of my heart, Jesus is going to have more emotion in that moment than you and I could have. Because he's excited to see a life faithful to him. Amen? He said, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. And he looks at your life, and you're one that does well. You're one that honors him with your life and your lips and your time and your talent and your ability. And you say, Lord, I've failed you so many things. He knows that. He's forgiven that. But you do your best. You do your best. You see, in school, I found out my best was not Matt Daniels' best. Matt Daniels was a straight-A student. I was a student. And that's between me and the Lord. No, I did pretty good. But Matt Daniels got all A's. No struggle. He made an A. Made an A. And I thought, I do my best and I just get C's. But you know what? It was my best. Listen, you honor the Lord with your life. You honor the Lord with your time and your talents and your money, your resources. And not have a selfish heart or a selfish spirit. And he will say, well done. But on the other hand, he is going to be very harsh. I want to say this, and this was very hard for me to write this. But I thought, Father, I must be honest with the text. He will be harsh with others. He looked, everything looked good. I'm sure that person with one thought, well, I'm going to be okay. And then he stood before, it's not the Lord being angry or mad. He's looking at a wasted life. Sometimes when I'm in a funeral, I really don't know what to say. Because I thought, Lord, I don't know. I don't know that they've used their life for good. You see, here's what this one man, he repaid his master by being lazy. Now let me ask you a question in closing. How are you repaying your Lord? Sometimes we say, I just want to thank the Lord for being saved. I just want to thank the Lord for writing my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's wonderful and that's awesome. Now, prove it tomorrow. Prove it this afternoon. Prove it tonight. In every place you're put. You say, there's a lot of hard situations in life. Yes, there are. You see, it's easy to be lazy. It's easy to be slothful. It's easy to be indifferent. That's why this one last servant, his excuses made no difference at all. Your excuses, my excuses, the excuses of all who stand before the Lord will make no difference. Not one servant was overlooked, and they were completely held accountable for what had been given to them. You have a life to live. Many of you are doing well. But some of you are saying, but you know, does it really matter? Yes, it does. Even picking up a small piece of paper matters before the Lord. I think I saw someone in the service. They didn't even know I watched, but they saw a piece of paper in the floor on the aisle. They just reached down and picked it up. They reached down and of the seriousness of their walk with God. I'm here to tell you it's coming. My judgment is coming and your judgment is coming. for we must all appear. But don't be scared of it if you're doing well. Don't be scared if you're doing your best. You say, preacher, it does scare me. He's just going to evaluate the totality of you. And if you're doing your best, relax in the Lord. But if you're not, if you're being slothful and lazy and indifferent and insensitive, and this message doesn't really mean anything to you, you better be very afraid. The Bible says it's a fearful thing to stand before a holy God, and you will fear His holiness in standing in His presence. Father, thank you so much for your word, for your truth, for speaking to our heart. Father, I pray for that person who's here, who's being dealt with by your Spirit, who's being moved upon by your Spirit. Our lives are serious. Our lives are not casual lives. But you love us and you're patient as we try. You're not hard, but you're going to be very stern to that person who doesn't even try. And Father, draw lives to you this morning is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.